And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post podcast live from a table with a tablecloth on it at the beautiful slash weird Encore Casino in
ornate? Is it ornate?
Beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, where I am joined with alcohol by Howard Beck. What up, Beck?
What up?
And the legend Rachel Nichols, who has wine because she's classy.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like these drink assignments are a little sexist somehow.
I requested.
She asked for wine.
I asked for wine.
How do you know I didn't want a red wine?
I didn't really consider you one way or the other, Howard.
Didn't really consider you.
Wow. Yeah,
it's just Howard. Just get him a beer.
We've been talking
Oh, look, Zach's going to get me wine. That's pretty much where the end of the sentence ended.
It's a generous pour right there.
It is a generous pour.
We've been talking about doing a three-person drinking podcast for quite a while now. Our schedules are so complicated that we can't figure it out in the summer when it's more appropriate, I think, to maybe...
Yeah. Can we tell people how this started? Was that we had a couple summers in a row where the three of us would get together and make a point in the summer of going out for beers.
I think that happened once.
I think it happened twice. And then by the third time, we were like, oh, we should do this as a podcast. And,
of course,
at that point, I moved from New York to California, and then it became increasingly...
Yes, so it's your fault we've never been able to do this.
Well,
I'd like to point out, when
I come to New York for a month every summer, Howard flees to California, which is the promised land, and Zach goes to Croatia. So.
Big game tomorrow.
Ooh.
I am getting together with Hawks fans will remember Nevin Spahia, former assistant coach for the Hawks, now the head coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, was Drazen Petrovic's best friend from childhood. He is gathering Croat and Croat-adjacent people to stop the It's Coming Home bandwagon.
Mm.
Okay? I am worried that if Croatia wins tomorrow and makes the finals, they've never been to the finals before, there will be no more Croatia for me to visit in the summer. Croatians do fire and flares better than anyone.
Okay.
Like, fire is just constantly going on.
Did you post something about that recently? Was that from your feed that I saw?
I posted
something?
The guy getting so excited when they won the penalty shootout against Russia that he threw his couch out the window. He just picked up his couch and threw it out the window.
Which is funny unless
there was a child walking underneath, and it's not as funny.
This may sound trivial, but I'm a little concerned for the state of King's Landing. I don't want anything bad to happen.
Oh my God, Howard, cutting to the heart of the issue.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he should have brought you three wines.
Not for this guy.
No.
In honor of Cersei. Cersei always has the big goblet.
That's true. What are we going to do about Zach not watching Game of Thrones?
I applaud Zach for finding better uses of his time.
There are no better uses of time. You're outvoted 2-1 at this table.
Absolutely. I think as your friends and people who care about you, it's our responsibility to strap you to a chair at some point. And make
I kind of just gave up on Zach on this particular one. You know, like there's no like he gave it a few episodes and he decided
he was out. Three seasons.
How did you quit after three seasons? Yeah, how is that even possible? That was like the best, most exciting part.
I don't want to get into it. I've gotten into it before. I just wasn't into enough of the side plots interested me. I liked some characters here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they went to the wall, I was like, get the wall out. I don't want to be at the wall. It's cold. They're wearing furry jackets.
They're Snapchatting each other. I'm very upset.
The Grumpy Nights Watch.
Let's talk about the NBA because when we don't talk about the NBA, everyone's like, why aren't you talking about the NBA podcast? Why am I not listening to the NBA?
Is that how they sound?
Yeah, probably.
You should hear them in double speed.
Rachel, you were just chastising me. So why don't we start there? We just got out of Adam Silver's media availability.
You have to specify what I was chastising you for.
There's been a lot of chastising today.
List.
He got chastised by Michelle Roberts. I got to watch her live.
We're going to talk about
really?
That. Michelle Roberts does not mess around.
No.
When she wants to, she should not.
No.
But her directness is actually, in a world where everyone is sort of polite and passive-aggressive, her aggressiveness stands out. You were chastising me because we just got out of Adam Silver's Board of Governors where he addressed the possibility of seeding the playoffs 1-16. I have crossed the Rubicon on this. I now want it to happen, and I want it to happen immediately, and I do not want to hear any more about air travel, and I do not want to hear any more about the imbalanced schedule and how it's impossible to get the teams to play identical schedules and play 82 games. I want there to be a 1-16 playoff system, and I want them to seriously discuss it. You're you're acting like this is a pipe dream that I need to just give up.
Yes. I mean, I'm not.
He said it has real appeal.
He can say that as many times as he needs to have people like you feel okay that maybe it could be discussed or happen.
Wow, but you're saying that I'm being placated.
Probably wouldn't be the first time.
There was a second layer to that too, which is that I think he was actually being more than a little misleading in saying that. Not just he was intrigued by it, but our owners see great value to it. No, they don't.
Well,
you have an entire conference that absolutely doesn't want it because it means that they'll lose their ability to make the playoffs with 37 wins.
And yeah, I just want to make this clear. I am not against your idea. I am not the one sitting here and saying, no, this isn't a good idea. I'm not on team don't reseed. I'm on team this is never going to happen. Yeah. This is never going to happen.
Why don't we bet right now?
Okay. This is going to be the best bet I ever made.
What do you want to bet? What's the time horizon? Do I get 15 years? you said never.
No, so
theoretically, I should get forever.
I think we have to do it in a more... I certainly understand that, but I think we should do it in a more concentrated time just so the bet can be paid off when we are reasonably walking this
earth.
Are
you saying one of us is going to be dead in 15 years?
We might not all be in this place and this time together. So 5 years.
No, 5 years is a no. I lose that
bet
every time.
Well, 5 years for a vote. It doesn't have to actually start. It just has to be within 5 years, the decision to switch has been made. That's a fair
bet. The decision to switch has been made?
And here's what the stakes...
This is an unfair bet to me now. I was going to say 10 or 15 years.
Hold on. What the stakes should be, my stakes for you would be that you have to watch all of Game of Thrones.
That's fine. While we Snapchat, you're watching it.
I don't know what your stakes for me are going to be.
I'd have to think.
Walk around in a Croatian... soccer jersey and something water polo jersey.
I don't care about that.
I'm just on team never going to happen for the reasons that Howard is about to brilliantly walk you through.
I don't think brilliantly, but I just think that Adam's being disingenuous when he says the owners see great, appeal or something to 1 through 16. Some of them may, especially the ones in the Western Conference, and especially the ones who, say got shut out of the playoffs despite winning 50 games or 48 games in a certain season. But as long as there are a bunch of really crappy Eastern Conference teams with the ability to make the playoffs with 38 or 40 wins, and sometimes multiple of those teams, they're never going to vote in favor.
Getting a little nervous that NBA PR czar Tim Frank is hovering.
He can't
over
wait
this
to come over and just like crash.
About
this.
To do a flying elbow onto the table.
Tim Frank has to make a guest appearance on The Jump because I think you're the most named person who has not been.
He
on
hates
by
it
face.
Every time you name him. He hates it. Don't let his arms. So here's the thing about the Eastern Conference owners who theoretically will not vote for this because it's bad for their teams.
Never.
Number one. They don't care about playoff competition. This is not like, oh, we want to get in and test our players' mettle. This is we make $2.5 million for every home game, and we want two before we get our asses swept out by a real team, and we want to bank that money.
Also, they look better.
That's what I was going to say. The money is a huge part of it, and I know you're about to go down the revenue-sharing candy cane spot. But I do think our team made the playoffs this year becomes a huge thing to be able to say. And if you have fans who season after season are not having their team make the playoffs who they would have under the old system and not under this system, I promise you, it's never going to happen.
So Tim Bontemps, who's just walked by, has been reminding people that it takes a two-thirds vote of all the owners and the Eastern Conference owners will never vote for it. So my message
team to... never going to happen.
My message,
I didn't have to say anything. That's all I was going to do.
My message to them is A... You're just hung up on money. Don't pretend it's anything else. Or this vague idea of that we're successful because we got in the playoffs and we got Buxton 6 right out of the playoffs, okay? number
that
two.
That was 7, mind you.
No. Buxton 6 refers to Brandon Jennings' prediction that would be, but and they got swept.
Yeah.
Number two, go own something else. The sports teams in NBA are a public trust. Okay, that your responsibility is bigger than your silly little bottom line of getting $5 million, some of which goes to the league and not you. Okay, so go on something else. So number three, you can get lottery picks instead of crappy playoff appearances in a lottery system that is now more favorable to teams that are in the 11 to 15 slots. And conversely, a 47-win Western Conference team does not get an increased chance to move into the top five and just perpetuate the system of Western Conference superiority.
And this is the thing.
End of rant.
That's the single best argument against my point. However,
and yet,
they're still not going to vote for it.
And yet, I was going to say, thank you, because
so go own something
never
else.
Never going
so
to
So sell
happen.
The team for a giant profit and bring someone in who cares about the integrity of the league more than their own pockets.
Like how Brian Wainwright likes to say, there's the ideal world and the real world. Rachel and I are in the real world.
Okay. Right. Well,
so here's
we just made a bet. I didn't even name my stakes. All I want when I win the bet.
Yes.
in 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
On my unilaterally dictated
clock.
Timeline.
Right.
Is an expensive dinner on the beach in Los Angeles.
That's easy, yes.
Where your husband and you and my wife and me and our kids are either being watched by somebody or running around the beach. And
burying each other in the sand.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what they're doing. That's all I want.
Yep,
the
done.
Best place on the beach in Los Angeles.
How about this, just to add on to your points, which, again, while I'm with Rach, I don't think it's ever going to happen. They should be, the incentive should be for the owners to at least see the dumb inequity and the bad spiral effect of this 50-win team gets shut out of playoffs, ends up in lottery where they don't need the help as much as 37-win team that made playoffs in the East and gets denied spot in lottery. Like, it's completely f***ing irrational. I'm going to get beeped now. It's completely irrational. Like, the point of the lottery system and of a reversed order draft is to help the teams that need it most. And so the 37-win team that makes the playoffs in the East is not in the lottery. They should be because they're still a crappy team that just happened to make the playoffs in the conference.
There is an argument that it really makes no difference between picking 17th.
I was going to say.
And 14th.
Possibly. But there's the ability to jump up. Even though it doesn't happen.
All I'm saying is this, and the other excuse the NBA throws out all the time is, we have an imbalanced schedule, blah, blah, blah. It's not fair. Well, right now, so the worry about the imbalanced schedule is, in theory, this team with a weaker schedule squeaks in by a game over this team with a stronger schedule. That's already happening.
Yes.
The imbalanced schedule favors the Eastern Conference teams, who gets to play each other in pathetic games 52 times a year, while the Western Conference teams have to play real games. And so the inbound schedule right now is enabling inferior teams to make the playoffs and artificially making the gap between the conferences look smaller than it actually is.
Yes. However, well, first of all, I'm going to take slight issue that all 52 games in the Eastern Conference schedule would be weak.
I'm halfway done with the beer, and I'm a parent now, so that means something.
That means something. I feel it needs to be said, the Eastern Conference is not a flaming garbage pit. However,
well,
I understand.
Smoldering? I mean, smoldering?
You can see the flames as the matches are rubbed together. However, all of these reasons they all make sense. They're all good reasons. They do not trump money. And I love your idealistic fairyland of sports teams and the public trust. But it is not going to happen. And the balance schedule issue actually is real in that, yes, right now you have two halves that operate differently in terms of what level of competition the teams have to play. And that matters by whoever's king of the mountain on each side gets to go to the NBA Finals. And to be king of the mountain on one side is easier than being king of the mountain on the other side. However, that whole competition to be king of the mountain all the way through, that's equivalent within the two halves, within the two worlds. And I think that that's a big difference between if you throw all 16 teams on the same mountain, you do have to balance the schedule. Because there is no way that you can tell the Clippers to play Golden State and Houston and all those teams four or five times when the East teams have to play them once.
Completely agree. Eventually you have to figure it out. My point is that, like, the eventually you have to figure it out does not mean we have to do nothing until then. Seeding 1 to 16 right now under the current schedule would be fairer in terms of who makes the playoffs than what happens right now.
I agree with you, and it will never happen.
And also, look, I have never been that much of a rabble-rouser about this. I looked it up. I wrote a column 4 years ago about this. And I do believe that this is cyclical. Like, the West is not inherently better than the East. There will be a time in 10 or 15 or 20 years where it's even, and the East has played the West much better head-to-head in the last 2 or 3 years than in the prior 2 or 3 years. And there will be a time when the East is better than the West. To me, that doesn't matter. It's not about the fact that this is a temporary blip, although it's now whatever is longer than a blip.
This is not a cyclical thing. This has been going for 20 years at this point.
But it will turn. It will turn at some point.
In theory, I mean, I keep waiting for that to happen. David Stern was telling us it was cyclical back in like 2002. You know, so I'm not completely buying it. Can I throw in my alternate overly simplistic, stupidly simplistic Beck plan, which I told you earlier today?
Only if you call it the What Up Beck plan.
Yeah, right,
so in the What Up Beck plan, we make the simplest possible change here, which is that if the problem is that a team in the West gets shut out with 48 wins because the West is so damn good, while a team in the East is making it with a losing record, we simply take the team, the 48-win team from the West, and we move them into the 8th seed in the East, and we displace that losing team that didn't deserve it in the first place.
So what's the threshold? The threshold is you have to have a winning record, otherwise you get bounced.
If you have a losing record in one of the conferences, but you're still somehow in the top 8 because that conference sucks, hello Eastern Conference, for the last 20 years, then the Western Conference team that is sitting in 9th with the superior record jumps over and just replaces that team in the eighth spot. Now, I threw this out to somebody from the league yesterday who promptly said, yeah, but now it's unfair to the number one seed in the East,
yes,
who now has more travel potentially. So to which I've decided I don't give a crap.
Well, no,
just do
this
it anyway.
This dovetails with another one of my, it's not my idea, but it's an idea that I completely support, is that the number one seed, either 1 to 16,
oh,
or
to
one,
pick, right?
I want them to be able to pick their opponent. Every round you should
I like
be able to
that
pick
anyway.
Their opponent.
I like
why,
that.
Why,
I
like, what is it about that that is going to bring more enjoyment for the fan?
You could have a TV show where they get up there and pick their opponent.
Okay, but obviously they're going to pick the team they could, you know, beat the crap out of.
Well,
the
by the second round, everybody is good. I think that's more or less true. By the second round, every matchup is going to be
pretty good. So you think the number one seed should get to pick their opponent all the way through? Doesn't that make this an even fewer chance of an upset than we have?
Maybe we just make it the first round. I don't know.
Okay, but then
All the way through is two rounds.
I'm not against it.
It benefits the number one seed who play. If we're going to have this ridiculous 82 game schedule,
we don't have enough to benefit the number one seed. We don't see the number one seed cruise through the first round quickly enough in your life.
I don't.
That's why we need to go back to best of five.
You would be hard pressed to. No, that's not true. I mean, some NBA teams have proposed things like buys and things that will never happen, but. If we're going to have this insane 82-game grind, mm-hmm, and there's going to be a team that actually tries to win all 82 of those games, then I'm all for increasing the incentive and the rewards for doing that.
I don't have a problem with your pick. They should pick
who
they play.
This
one I don't have a problem with. I just don't know who wins enough to make the change. Like, who benefits enough from that to make the change?
And rarely will this matter, right? But I think Toronto may have picked a different opponent than Washington last year, and it's just recency bias in my head, but I've said this before, like, if I were the Rockets and I actually went balls out for the whole season and I looked at the standings and said, oh my god, the Spurs could get eighth and Kawhi could get back healthy, that's a problem. Like, that team's a problem. I don't want to play that team. Now, that didn't happen. The Spurs came seventh and Kawhi is in is somewhere hiding in a closet.
I think he's in a bunker. I think he's in, like, remember when the government officials were in the bunker somewhere for safety?
Right. Yes.
Kawhi's in the bunker.
Which, by the way, in NBA terms, translates into some private island surrounded by, like, beautiful people someone feeding him grapes all the time. But
really
totally
nice
a bunker.
I don't like grapes. I think grapes are an overrated fruit.
What?
Really? Wow.
Right, this is a bad hot take, Zach.
Dude, I am having problems with you today. You are one of my favorite people, and you've come up with several things today.
Here are the overrated fruits. Grapes.
Oh, God. This is going to kill me.
Yes.
I'm afraid.
Okay.
Overrated.
What?
Have you ever had... Wait, hold on. Have you ever had a
cherry?
No,
yes.
A Rainier cherry. You got to have a Rainier.
Rainier.
Mr. Brooklyn Food Co-op, yes.
I'm from California, where we do summer fruit very well.
You really want to get back into your California problems? Continue.
This is a bad route for me.
The most underrated fruit, and I will die on this hill, is the pear. Pear doesn't get enough
pears
credit.
Are good.
I'm with you on that.
Pear doesn't get enough
credit. All right, so the Rainier cherries from Rainier,
really
Washington, by the way.
The apple orange category.
Pears are better than apples. How about that for a hot take? Pears are better than apples.
You know the people who complain about you not having enough NBA on your NBA
podcast?
Let's talk about the Lakers.
I'm just saying, $6 a pound, they're expensive, but go find yourself a batch of Rainier cherries. They're actually from Washington. I was touting my California fruits, but Rainier cherries are like in a completely other different
category.
If I
lose the bet, the fancy dinner for us and our families on the beach, if you lose the bet, you're strapped to a chair watching Game of Thrones. If Howard loses the bet, he's buying everyone Rainier cherries.
It's a win-win for me. I wouldn't mind. I did not like Game of Thrones. It's a win for me.
I'm just saying that. I mean, I like dinner, so we're all in good shape, and Howard likes cherries.
True.
So
I didn't really
fine.
Make you suffer any pain, although clearly your objection to every idea that I have is indicative of perhaps this dinner would be painful for you. Howard wrote a great column about Lakers exceptionalism and how it was not dead but dormant. And I'm interested to hear what both of you think about LeBron signing with the Lakers and the series of signings of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo, and I may be forgetting somebody that have happened since that event. There was a lot of eye-rolling around the league from jealous teams, as there always is with the Lakers, that the Lakers did not deserve to have LeBron James sign with their team. That since most people would say, most rival team executives say, since the Dwight Howard, Steve Nash thing didn't work, they've been kind of a joke.
I would even take it further back and say since the Chris Paul trade got vetoed,
I mean, to me, that is the
seismic event that changes Lakers history for the better, mm-hmm. that has faded enough in time that people don't seem to remember it. But the Lakers have been pretty much a joke for the last 4 or 5 years. I don't particularly care that they got LeBron James. I don't think deserve, as Snoop said on the wire, I don't think deserve got nothing to do with it. But their signings to me since he came there don't suggest to me that they have a clear or functional idea of what they want to be around LeBron. And suggests to me that LeBron signed there because they're the Lakers and he wants to live in Los Angeles. I mean, what of that resonates with either of you?
Actually, I first have a question, which is, this is an interesting concept, the deserve thing or earned it. Are the same owners or executives who are saying that the Lakers didn't earn LeBron because they've been a joke the last 5 years, are they the same ones who complained about the Warriors
probably
when Durant went there, where they very much, if you could ever say a team earned attracting a marquee, one of the best players in the world, like the Warriors freaking earned it. Like they created a culture and a winning atmosphere.
Coach, GM, ownership.
That was said irresistible. Many times, they nailed 7, 11, and 32.
Right. Yep. Any team ever does, like, we can all still say, and I'll be the first to say, the system broke and it shouldn't have happened and shouldn't, and like, whatever.
This is what Michelle was yelling at me about today.
Yes.
Our cap spike anger.
But also, by the way, with that idea of deserved or earned, I know this wasn't the primary point of your question, but
no,
I do think it's really interesting and in that it does fit into the Lakers' exceptionalism, which, again, everyone should read Howard's stuff in general, but certainly that one was really good, is that it objectifies the player so much. I find that so insulting. Guess what? First of all, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Lakers organization was not run with such staggering wonder and efficiency over the last 15 years that team deserved LeBron James.
No, not at all.
But guess what? LeBron went to the Lakers and he went to go live in L.A. because he wanted to go live in L.A. and play for the L.A. Lakers. And he made that decision. It's not that, the organizations get to have some beauty contest and, like, pageant fight and whoever amongst themselves decides that they deserve it the most, they go pick up their door prize at the end of the night. He's a human being who has earned the right to make this call himself. I think when you ask the second follow-up question of what do you think of him going there, he in fact retrofitted his basketball decision to fit his life and sort of career arc decision. And we'll have to see if on the basketball front that works out for him. But this was very much about somebody wanting to go live in a particular place. His family very much wanted to live in a particular place and play for the type of team that the Lakers are. And he made the call, and he has earned the right to make that call. I can't believe it sometimes when I hear people, the entitlement of some of these people talking about these organizations.
Well, I think there's an imagination that LeBron is, you know, by his own words, is chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. and is obsessed with 6 rings, and I don't think he's going to get to 6 rings. And so there was some expectation. Well, there was some people. I mean, all year we talked about how, well, do the Lakers have? You're raising your hand. I'm going to get to you, madam.
I don't want to interrupt.
Madam? Madam.
Sort of.
Ms.
Ms. There was an expectation that maybe he would choose a basketball situation that allowed him to compete with the Warriors immediately, and he has not, to this point, done so. But what would you like to add?
Chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan is not chasing 6 rings, and he has made that point. Chasing the goals of Michael Jordan was becoming the best basketball player ever. And we can argue in 16 different ways how that's measured, right? And does a ring with Cleveland mean more than 2 rings with some, you know, with this teammates versus that teammates? What about just how you play the game? What about the records you set? What about the durability you have? We'll all argue that into the ground, but that's what he meant by chasing.
And he's going to take that team of young guys who I think are good. I mean, I'm super high on Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. I'm in like the 99th percentile of high on Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit lower on Kuzma. I like Hart a lot. He's going to take that team, even with no big additions, and they're going to be better than everyone thinks because he's LeBron. Everyone's there. They're a 45-win team. They might miss the playoffs. They're not going to miss the playoffs.
Wes Wilcox said on my podcast a few days ago, they're winning 50. LeBron is worth 15 wins, minimum. And I think it's a little optimistic. But I also think that more is going to happen. I still don't think, to the point of like all the other guys they signed, I'm still not convinced this is the final product.
Certainly not the final product they go into April with, right?
Right.
Like, so there's that. And then there's also the idea of when you talk about, oh, fans were hoping that he'd be chasing this title and going into a better basketball ring-chasing situation. The irony of that is kind of amazing. And that sort of speaks to the Warriors effect, too, that when he goes to Miami, oh my God, you guys are cheating. You're putting this team together in a way that's ring chasing and isn't organic and isn't authentic. And how did you do this? And when Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors, oh my God, how could you do this? You guys, this isn't organic. This isn't authentic. You're just adding the best player and there you go. The Warriors have created such a dynamic in this league where teams and fans of other teams want to see them knocked down. They are begging Paul George and LeBron and Kawhi Leonard to form a super team. Please, well, go be mercenaries and have a competitive finals.
I don't care what Adam says up there at the podium. The league would release balloons from the ceilings if Kevin Durant left the Warriors and they had a more competitive, because the Warriors are, with what's happened to Houston. Now, I will say this, and the last time we all freaked out about Houston losing free agency was 2014 when LeBron switched teams. Dallas gave a poison pill offer sheet to Chandler Parsons, and Houston was like, nope, we don't pay non-stars that much money, and they signed Trevor Ariza. And everyone freaked out, and now they freaked out in part because they missed out on Bosch too, which for very sad reasons turned into a blessing in disguise for the Rockets. So I'm going to give the Rockets a little bit of benefit of the doubt, but right now they're clearly worse. Yes. Without a reason, without Bamute, than they were. The Warriors, again, look unbeatable. But you, I'm interested to hear, I'd forgotten about this. Rachel, you've been the single best play,
not all of us,
to even the playing field for LeBron is to get Kevin Durant to sign with the Lakers. That is the single best move on the board because it hurts the Warriors and it helps him. You have been raising the notion that Kevin Durant might consider the Knicks. And everyone, because the Knicks have been such a joke for most of the last 20 years with, you know, Huckleberry Hound slouching over the team, that everyone just sort of reflexively says,
I can't wait for him to walk down the hallway while we're sitting here.
Stop talking about the Knicks. Stop talking about the Knicks. Look, I'm with you. I don't know what Kevin Durant is going to do. I can tell you that people who were around him for 8 or 9 years with the Thunder don't feel like they know him as a person, don't feel like they know what he wants, would not be surprised at all if he left the Warriors. And so I'm interested, why do you think the Knicks thing is at least worth discussing and not dismissible?
I'm not convinced that the Warriors is the final chapter for Kevin Durant. I think it was a necessary chapter for his growth, and that winning those titles, winning the finals MVP, the validation that he has openly and I think admirably expressed he needed externally to help him feel as a person, and then learn through that wow, getting lots of external validation doesn't fix you on the inside. And
first of all, he's not getting that much external validation.
Well, I mean, you get the trophies and you get the trophies. Applause, and you get you get people saying you're the best in the finals and all of that stuff. And then
Fair. Him
coming through the other side of that. And again, I think very admirably, I think very highly of the way Kevin has opened himself, and to some people to mock him, of saying how he feels. And he said, look, I thought this would make me whole. I thought this would make me feel okay as a person, and it didn't. And I had to go off the court and figure out what would make me feel better. So I think this chapter has been really important. Then racking up some titles and finals MVP is important to him
and his
long-term legacy. I do think another chapter for him will probably involve, and the Knicks situation is so goddamn perfect for someone who is going to be still playing an elite level to walk in and finally,
whoever
with Kristaps Porzingis on your right side, which is no joke,
please knock on wood for his knee.
Right, save the goddamn New York Knicks in basketball Mecca and 8 million people screaming your name, and you want an image rehab. Because I don't think, no matter how many things he wins with the Warriors, people will ever love
him there.
It's
never going to happen.
Not even within the Bay Area, much less outside of it. But you have the entire New York fan base suddenly calling you a hero. My Lord, that writes the final chapter of your basketball life a lot differently than it's being written right now.
So interesting, because, you know, we've analogized, and I've certainly written about this before, that, you know, LeBron paved the way for Durant to make a move like he did. Durant was at a whole other level, and there are certain aspects of it that are very different, but LeBron paved the way to do that. And I think, as I'm listening to Rachel talk about Durant not being in his final chapter, it makes me appreciate that much more the fact that what we really have seen from LeBron in these moves he's made over the last 8 years is that he is seeing his career arc and he's writing his own narrative almost in chapters, and that they're all about distinctly different things. We've never seen that before. So again, a precedent that LeBron set paves the way for Durant to say, you know what, my first chapter was this incredible early success in Oklahoma, but we hit a ceiling, and then things happened. We couldn't break through. The second chapter was to go join this incredible organization and this incredible team with this amazing culture and values and whatever, and I got to be a two-time finals MVP, maybe three-time finals MVP. And that there is, that there can be a different chapter, right? Michael Jordan's deal was, I'm gonna win three, and I'm gonna leave, and then I'm gonna come back, and I'm gonna win three more. He didn't plan it that way, it's kind of the way it happened. But guys now are seeing that each chapter can be, one chapter might have nothing to do with championships, and one chapter might have something to do with just entirely personal growth, or finding out what it's like to succeed at the highest level. And then the next chapter can be taking a step back, because let's face it, going from the Warriors to the Knicks would be a step back. And seeing, okay, but now I'll find a new challenge for myself. And in today's environment, where superstars are now making this somewhat routine, we'll probably accept that in a different way. And actually, to the point of the fan backlash, maybe fans will actually embrace that. Like, well, good for you. I didn't like when you went to the Warriors, but I appreciate you're going to the Knicks.
It
would change everything about
him.
I was going to say, it would change everything about the way he is remembered in the NBA. Everything. Whether you're born in New York or not, but certainly, can you imagine?
Well, Knicks fans,
please,
would,
the
like,
two of you.
Flip out, yeah.
New York residents, can you imagine if he is the one to finally bring championship back to New York City?
Not even championship, just give me some relevance.
No, but what if it was?
Yeah,
what if
the title? I want to just like slightly pump the brakes on this one, only in the sense we have no idea what Chris Stapleton
is going to be. I was going to say,
can we have the aggregation, to borrow from Brian Windhorst, can we have the aggregation alert that this is all just us sitting around, but, literally drinking, literally drinking and speculating.
In fact, I'm done with my dinner. I should have got two beers.
There's no reporting going on here at all. We are just talking about the way everyone does. We're like, ooh, what if this happened?
Yeah.
Okay,
but I just think to dismiss it out of hand because the Knicks have been a joke and they have is not wise, because they're going to try. There's a reason why the Knicks, one of the rare teams that had the full mid-level exception this summer, did not use it to sign anyone. The Knicks signed anyone? I don't think the Knicks have signed a single person.
They lost O'Quinn.
Regardless, they have not.
Oh, they signed Hezonja.
Oh, Hezonja.
His press conference was today.
But they didn't use it to sign
anyone.
For
more money than Boogie.
that's interesting.
Okay, but quick thing, though. Quick side note here. Which team is going to have the most cap room in 2019?
I haven't done the math, but the Knicks are up there.
I believe it's going to be, at least based on calculations now, with as much as $70 million will be the Brooklyn Nets. And if you now, I buy one half of Rachel's proposition or you know,
reckless
scenario.
Reckless speculation.
Absolutely reckless speculation. I buy one half of it more than the other.
By the way, the Warriors will be all calling me after this podcast. What do you mean?
First of all, we're keeping him. The Warriors spent a lot of last season thinking to themselves, "Whoa, this guy's going through some stuff. We're not about KD. Like, we're not sure this." I think there were segments of the Warriors, they will never say it even off the record, that were afraid he was going to leave after this year.
Dude, when he said to me in the interview during the finals, I said, okay, so are you re-signing? And he said, yes, I'm going to re-sign with Golden State. We'll just figure out the math on how much. It wasn't as if he wasn't expected to re-sign, but I had literally... I had literally 3 or 4 people from the Warriors organization call, text, or physically come to me and say, thank you for getting him to say that on camera. We weren't sure.
Clippers Brain Trust walking by.
Gentlemen.
Hello, Lawrence Clippers Brain Trust.
Michael Winger.
Mr. West.
And the absolute legend, Jerry West.
We are. We're on
not
podcast.
Live, but podcast. What the hell
are you guys doing? We're doing a podcast with
alcohol. We figured we thought we were drunk and crazy.
The man who never gets enough play in the who is the greatest Laker of all time debate. The man who never gets enough play in the who is the greatest Laker of all time debate is walking by right now.
It's very nice of me to say that.
It's true.
Jerry, I was going to say that you think we are normally drunk when we do our jobs. You think we're normally drunk when we do our jobs, so we decided to actually put it into practice. Yeah.
So what are you here for? Jason?
We were here for the Fine Summer League and Board of Governors meeting.
Oh, yeah. Board of Governors. Yep.
I don't know.
Age one that's going back down.
Talk about seeding the playoffs 1-16. That would be good for the Western Conference teams, right?
Yeah.
no silence.
The great Jerry West is on team never going to happen.
seriously, he does not get enough.
Good to see you guys.
Jerry West does not get enough play, as the greatest Laker of all time debate is always Magic or Kobe or Green. I hope that got recorded. Did that get recorded?
Hey, trust me, last time I was on ESPN, they caught me on that too.
We have beeps.
Lawrence Frank, the president of basketball operations of the Los Angeles Clippers. How did that happen, by the way?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's the biggest upset. I was going to say how ESPN caught me personally.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I meant. That's what I meant, Lawrence.
Exactly. Really nice, very intensive notes.
Don't make fun of my handwriting.
Wait a minute. Don't go away from the table.
I know you're not a tribesman, but I thought you had a little Hebrew in you. I like that.
Can you please explain to Zach what this looks like? Does it look like he's like a serial killer or something?
Well, I would just confirm the Zodiac killer is still here. Colon cleanser.
No, that's his. That's his Lakers exceptional.
Oh my goodness. Slava Medvedenko.
Slow-mo slash years.
Lowry. Kyle, it's about Kyle Anderson. Lowry or Louie?
Levine.
Oh, my goodness.
He did a podcast with me once, and the only thing on the entire page I could make out was Caesar salad.
This is really tremendous. Thanks for stopping by.
It actually said colon cleanser.
Oh, that's good. All right. I'll let you guys do it.
Bye.
Good luck to the Clippers. Good off season for you guys. You guys are going to be frisky this year.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell we're talking about. Jerry West walked by and I got very flustered.
He has that effect.
He does have that effect.
The Knicks. All I'm saying is...
Yeah, this is quite a tangent.
Don't dismiss it.
Yes.
Rich Kleiman, KD's business manager, is from New York. Has made what some people might say are facetious and what other people might say are not facetious comments about having an influence with the Knicks, his childhood team. Scott Perry, their GM, was a higher up with the Sonics when they drafted KD, remains close with him now. I'm just saying, if KD takes meetings, here's my prediction right now. If KD takes meetings, the Knicks are getting a meeting.
I am not as certain of this as I am that 1 through 16 will never happen.
I can't wait.
I'm at 51%, right? I'd be more surprised if it never happens than if it does happen.
I just think that there's, like, I absolutely buy the idea that that there's another chapter for him that will be away from the Warriors. I am less convinced that the Knicks are the destination for that, because when it comes right down to it, what we've seen with these guys when they make these decisions is, you know, LeBron placed his fate in the hands of his two buddies, for one, but also in Pat Riley, and now he's placing it in the hands of the Lakers. And you can say whatever you want, you can mock the Lakers all you want. There's a reason that when he picked it, and I'm saying this now and not when Steve Ballmer walked by and not when the Clippers brain trust walked by, but if he wanted to live in L.A., he could have played for either team. Yes. You could find your way to the Clippers. He didn't. He chose the Lakers because they're the motherfucking Lakers.
Right. Yeah, they're the Lakers.
That's the Lakers exceptionalism that I wrote about, because still have that.
And
they have it.
And they've amped up the volume on that by putting Magic as the head of the franchise.
And I do think that one of the decisions that they were criticized for, including by me, now they did a lot of things wrong. Did a few things right. Lou Williams getting a pick for taking out Jeremy Lin. Little things like that. I do think the Kobe extension that everyone made fun of had a big picture value that was worth it to the Lakers.
I mentioned this in the column last week.
They were totally up front at the time. Jeannie said it over and over again at the time, right? Yeah. I mean, weren't you covering that team?
And she was
I was gone by then. But she
said it in the moment. It was that they weren't coy about why they were doing this. Hey, this is a reward contract because we want to show players around the league how we treat legends
not
here.
Yes. There is not going to be a Kobe Bryant on the Hornets era.
No.
In the NBA.
And she was very upfront about why it was important. And she placed that bet for that reason. It didn't end up that way. It didn't end up that, oh, gee, people around the league, it bought them a lot of goodwill with players. That was the point. She made a good decision, at least in terms of what she wanted to happen for her franchise, that worked out the way she wanted it to. There was a lot of agency there. I think she should get credit for it.
Absolutely.
We might not agree with it or think it was worth it, what she did, but she made a decision wanting X, and X happened.
And they were going to be bad regardless. And no matter how much Kobe was making or how little he was making, if he had taken the Dirk Nowitzki contract that people were then comparing it to, does that mean that there was yes, there was physical room for other people to come in? Would they have wanted that? Would they have wanted to come in to Kobe's team while he's still there? I mean, there's a bunch of what-ifs that go along with that we don't know the answer to. And there's a good chance they were going to be wandering the desert for a few years regardless, because that's usually what happens when your superstars who are all-timers age out. That just happens to almost every team except for the Boston Celtics.
That's what I wrote about the Cavs, is like, you know, they're screwed now. They need to tank.
And it was
they will eventually tank. And you know what? The Celtics
and to an even larger degree, the Spurs, I think, have spoiled us into forgetting sometimes that, like, that's what happens to most championship
teams. That's the
normal
life cycle.
They rise and fall as their stars get old and age out of the league.
I'm crossing the Rubicon on the Cavs tanking thing. I was so hard thinking the Cavs should tank and hold on to that top 10 pick this year that I have come out. I have come out the other side.
What?
Just hear me out. I know, trust me. I was diehard team tank, so I'm trying this on right now. Help me out, okay?
Workshop it.
I'm workshopping it. I have to have an opinion by the fall. I think that if it was as easy as, like, hey, have a couple high draft picks and move forward and rejuvenate your franchise, everyone would do it. I grew up in Washington,
D.C. Everyone does do it.
They don't do it. They don't
they
pull it off.
They try to do it.
They try to, but they don't pull it off.
True.
I grew up in Washington, D.C., the franchise that has had 18 names since the time I was a kid. Okay, two, but same thing. It's not been 40 years since they won a title, although it has. It hasn't just been that. It's been 40 years since they have been to an NBA Finals.
But why are they good now?
Hold on. No one said that they're good now.
They're
good.
My point is
this. This is an organization that is not a joke, right? There's organizations around the NBA, and we're not going to name them. Hold on. There's organizations around the NBA I wouldn't name on this podcast who sort of are perennially cannot get their act together.
Why wouldn't you name the Kings? Why are we defending the Kings?
I'm trying to have like a week where I don't insult the Sacramento Kings.
You have a whole segment on your show called As the Kings Turn.
I know.
Now you're going to spare the Kings?
I just wanted to give it. See, again, I'm workshopping. I'm trying things out. Be nice to the Sacramento Kings today. The Wizards aren't that. They have made the playoffs. They have had good runs. You're right now calling them a good team. They've had superstars or at least stars on their team. A team that has done enough things right to be in the conversation of being a good team at least some of the time, and yet it has been 40 years since they have even been to an NBA Finals. If it was as easy as, hey, Cavaliers, tank next year and you'll be good to go, everyone would be doing that. The Orlando Magic wouldn't be the Orlando Magic right now. And there is possibly, again, I'm workshopping this, there is possibly value, maybe, in the idea of, hey, we don't want to be truly awful yet, and we're going to take another year at trying to be okay with an all-star before we make our fans just root for a bunch of nameless, faceless children. And, by the way, sorry, contact, but, and the idea that this is not a franchise with a great track record for player development.
No, its best accomplishment of the last 20 years has been being located near LeBron James' birthplace.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Right. Which is masked, by the way, that they have, I would say, one of the worst owners in the NBA. It has masked that. He chased off one of the greatest players of all time, and the only reason that guy came back was because he was from there. And if
it's
not
possible
for
he chased him off a second time, by the way. We can get into that, too.
Well, it's certainly one part of the pie chart of all the reasons why he left. Mm-hmm. It's a big chunk of it. And, yeah, if not for that, if not for, one, a ping pong ball bounce that got LeBron there in the first place from the previous owner, mm-hmm. from Gordon Gund, and if not for LeBron then being from Akron, like, what are the Cavaliers for the last 15 years
this
at all?
This is my point. I'm not sure that tanking next year is going to be some magical salve to get them on the road to righteousness, and maybe you just take a year where things are okay and not horrible, and you let Kevin Love be Minnesota Kevin Love, you just have a year where at least they have something to cheer for and they could win some games and try to get into the playoffs before you plunge into abject misery.
That's
where I'm workshopping.
This strikes me as being kind of like what the Hawks for a while called the middle build, when it was, you know, Danny Ferry and Wes Wilcox, when they were running that, and they got to their 60-win season. The middle build with the idea was, we're never going to go all the way down. It was like, it was basically the corollary to, or the you know, yang to the yin of the treadmill of mediocrity. The treadmill of mediocrity was, you don't want to be in the middle. You got to be one extreme or the other. And their thing was, no, we're going to do the middle, and we're going to find ways to cleverly just keep adding on, mm-hmm. and then hopefully make ourselves attractive to a free agent like a Paul Millsap or whoever who came along at the right time. And the Bucks did this thing where they tried to be in the middle, lost anyway, drafted Giannis at 15.
Right.
So they're another team that never, like, they didn't bottom out in a multi-year way, in the Sixer way or the bad Orlando way. But so there are these teams that have, like, said, we want to keep good faith with our fans by being at least competitive. What we would all consider the foolishness of chasing the eighth seed. And that can work for a little while. If you get lucky with the 15th pick and get Giannis, or if you catch fire in a jar, lightning in a jar,
lightning comes in a bottle. I don't know where fire comes in.
Are you in, by the way, on my documentary I'm going to film about Zach's etymology of like where things, expressions come from?
Oh, for sure. I said on a radio interview recently, I said something about some team needing to give up the ghost, and I immediately went into Zach mode of like, why are we giving up a? Why did we have a ghost in the first place? You don't even have an option to get ghosts. Like if all of the stuff I've watched on TV and movies since I was a kid has any validity whatsoever, ghosts just come and.
I think because you're chasing the ghost and the ghost is unattainable because it's a ghost.
So you should give up the ghost.
You give up the ghost.
Less popular the expression about giving up the goat.
No, you get your goat. You get your goat.
Yeah, why are we trying to get the goat?
Because when everyone was a
do you not watch Game of Thrones? Those are some lonely nights there on the ship.
My only point about...
There's a tangent we don't need to go.
I don't think the Cavs are going to make the playoffs next year. I have not thought all that critically and in-depth about the race for the 7th and 8th spots in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I would not make any definitive predictions.
Which is making me sick to my stomach just thinking about it right now.
I was going to say 6-10 in the East at all, would you?
I'll say 6 is the Philly, Boston, Toronto... Indiana, Milwaukee, Washington should be the top 6. Miami, Charlotte, Detroit after that. And then we're just like, boy, when the League Pass alert comes on that the Charlotte Hornets are playing the Detroit Pistons and it has major implication for the 7th seed is when I'm going to start weeping on my couch in March. To your point about tanking, if the measuring stick is 55 wins and or championship contention, every single roadmap there is unlikely to work. Whether it's the middle build, the process, something else. They're all low odds propositions. I am confident that this is why all the process didn't work. Who knows if the process is going to work? I am confident that something like what Philly did is the best of what are low percentage options to build a championship team.
That road's no longer available to teams though.
Well, it is. It's just not available with the same percentages. But you can still.
Well, even if you even if you do it only once, even if you do it only 1 or 2 years and you get lucky.
Candy cane world.
No.
You don't think that the NBA league office would let another team carry through the process? That I don't ever see that again. That is on my team.
I'm not saying exactly what Philly did. Although that is the maximization of what I'm talking about. I'm saying that even a team like New Orleans, that did it by accident in 1 year, got the only thing you absolutely have to win a championship, which is a top 10 overall player. Now they have screwed up almost everything around that, and what happens there in the future is unclear. But by virtue of that one event, they have a chance.
That's luck. That's Akron, Ohio, and LeBron being born there. That's, you know what, we can talk about the wiseness of how the Warriors drafted, or, you know, we talked about this on the podcast we did after the draft, that to me, when we talk about picks conveying and when we make trades that involve picks, assuming that those picks are equivalent in the hands of one franchise versus that exact same number pick in the hands of another franchise, that it's an equivalent asset is ridiculous. Yeah. Because a number 3 pick in Danny Ainge's hands is completely different than a number 3 pick in Thadde DiBiase's
hands. You know who we all forget who did this? Is the Thunder. The Thunder drafted 2, 3, 4 and nailed them all.
MVPs!
And nailed them all.
Right. But nobody does that. Like, Sam Presti did it. Even Sam Presti might not ever pull that off again if he had the same.
My point is that those events, and it's to your original sentence of, hey, these are all low percentage odds, right? New Orleans doing that again, low percentage. Even the Warriors doing that again, low percentage, right? The process ever happening again. Look, the point of the process, and you're right, it hasn't come to completion. We don't know if it worked. But the point of the whole thing was, hey, drafting is such an inexact science. You can have 3 high draft picks in a row and only hit on one of them. So you need like 8, right? You need 6 or 8, and then you can maybe get 2 or 3 franchise players.
Like the Lakers did it by accident. The Lakers picked 2nd 3 years in a row. Like, they were as bad or worse as Philly.
And that is not what is leading to their potential revival now. It's a free agency signing.
If you picked, if you picked Tatum and Ingram, you're on your way somewhere. Now, Russell didn't work out. If you picked, of course you didn't. That's the point. But I'm saying, like, you don't even have to do it as baldly or as intentionally as the Sixers did. Sometimes it just happens through happenstance and incompetence and bad luck and all of those things. There's a small vehicle going by us.
Can you my hotel, there's a robot that is wandering around the hotel delivering room keys.
What?
Yep.
Like, does it have arms and a face?
No, it has, it's waist creepy. High. It looks like a trash can on wheels. It has a little screen at the top that says, I'm a working robot. Just in case you thought it was a recreational robot or maybe a robot of the evening.
Well, it's, like, I was going to say it's Vegas. That robot could be for all kinds of things.
Let's ask her the trivia question.
What's it?
What Remember we discovered question? On the way here? Do you know what Las Vegas means?
I don't. The what? The Las
none,
is the?
None of right. us knew. It was
and?
Howard, me and Tim Bonzant
in a car.
Can we not look
this up in 30
none
seconds?
None of us knew.
Well, so it was looked. I was driving.
Anyway,
I
made
look
Tim
it
look at multiple sites, not just Wikipedia. I made him look at the University of Chicago Dictionary and other sites.
And the result,
what is the result
is a damn lie. That's what the result
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Howard is calling.
What?
It's like the Meadows.
The Meadows or the Plains. Something like that.
Or the beautiful plains or something. Like, we're in the middle of a desert.
Howard loves Las
with a
Vegas.
Bunch of, like, manufactured, yes. creepy stuff, like a fake Eiffel Tower and a fake Statue of Liberty.
Why is that creepy?
There's no plane. Oh, it's completely
fucking
creepy. What
kind of fears do you have?
The only thing creepier...
What haunts your dreams at night? The Eiffel Tower?
Fake stuff haunts my dreams. The only thing creepier than the little miniature Statue of Liberty outside New York, mm-hmm. is the Statue of Liberty from the original Planet of the Apes. That's the only creepier thing that is Statue of Liberty related.
Okay.
Possibly the animated Ghostbusters.
I'm just saying, don't
know
what. It's not. I just didn't know, and I found it interesting.
There's
I'm
no.
This
I'm
right
sorry.
Now.
There are no. I said I had to quote White Men Can't Jump, where the Vista View apartments.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Because there ain't no vista. There ain't no view. And there
right.
certainly ain't no vista of no view. There ain't no planes. There's just like freaking desert and creepy
Do planes
fake
have
things.
To have greenery. Why can't wow.
I think that they...
Maybe I'm thinking
they
of the fruited plains, you know?
Plains. Yeah, I think if you have to make the distinction, it's fruited, then by definition, not all plains are fruited.
These are the non-fruited plains.
Just non-fruited plains.
The cactus
I was going to wait till the end, by the way. I wanted to make
We're
one corollary to my Kevin Durant Knicks theory, reckless speculation, that if, as you've knocked on many surfaces, Kristaps Porzingis is hurt for some reason when that decision comes, or something else unforeseen like that happens.
Or the Knicks are just generally still terrible?
Well, obviously that would affect it. And I think one thing we have seen with free agency is that guys are waiting to make decisions until they really know what all the pieces on the chessboard are, and that, you know, last couple weeks of June. So Kevin Durant to the Knicks is kind of a fun idea to talk about now, if you can
sort
of say
there's so
everything.
Many things are going to
so
change.
So many different things could change, but it's a fun idea.
That's what the Paul George thing, you know, the lesson of, you know, and a lot of us have said this before, is like there is, you cannot, now, I'm not saying if you're the Lakers, you throw the farm at Paul George. You have to play the odds and figure out the probabilities and all that. But you cannot look at the NBA now and bank on a guy coming to your team in a year. Because so much unforeseen, completely whack job stuff is going to happen in a year.
Tim, on that front, can we do a round, quick lightning round of what you think will happen to Kawhi Leonard?
Sure.
Go. Recklessly speculate.
I have
speculate.
To go first?
You recklessly speculate first.
He
based
gets
on
traded
no
to a non-Lakers team.
Pick the team. Kawhi Leonard ends up
Toronto.
You don't really think that?
For Philadelphia is the easy answer that I kind of believe the most, but Toronto is more fun and crazy. But I say he gets traded to a non-Lakers team. That's
okay.
What.
Reckless speculation. Right. Go.
Yeah, the obvious answer is Philly, and the most logical one on so many different levels. But if we're gonna have like a fun, just like send him somewhere, like. I don't know what Milwaukee could do for him, but like Giannis and Kawhi together, that would be interesting. And by the way, Milwaukee's one of those teams that needs to start taking some risks, better risks than they have taken, because the clock's ticking on Giannis.
I threw out Jabari as a sign and trade, you know, candidate for Kawhi, and a piece I wrote about a lot of fake trades, and the financial complexities of trading a restricted free agent to get some huge raise are too complicated. But
yeah.
I agree that's not. Absent that reality, and as you have said, we should all live on real world, mm-hmm. you know, rules. That's interesting. Okay, so now you started the lightning round.
Well, I think I wish there was a way to talk about Kawhi staying in San Antonio where we could acknowledge he's very unlikely to stay in San Antonio, but I still would like it. I think
Which, by the
I'd
way,
like to live in that world.
Still is strange.
Right, still is a possibility. If that can't happen, Look, you talk about closing windows. I think the one thing that keeps making me scratch my head with this Lakers construction that we never quite got to as a topic is that there's a lot of, hey, these are a bunch of one-year deals to hold in place and wait for next summer and all that. LeBron James is turning 34 this year.
Yep.
And I know that he had just finished a great season and a fantastic postseason, but if you have watched LeBron James for his entire career, you can see, even in this exceptional season and postseason, little things in his game that have already been concessions to age. They will only increase as he goes forward. He is turning 34. No matter how durable and amazing and remarkable he has been able to stretch this run to, that will change. And if you wait until the year he's turning 35 to pair him with another superstar, I just think the possibilities from what we could see of one of the greatest players of all time diminish if you don't move quickly.
I said this in my column last week. If I were the Lakers, if I ran the Lakers to avoid the chance of a Paul George situation repeating itself. If I think Kawhi's healthy, that's
I go out and get him. If I'm the Lakers, I go out and get him, and I don't care if it costs me Brandon Ingram.
See, here, my line is Ingram. I throw the whole boat at them other than Ingram.
But why? What are you saving it for? This is it.
If you've got
LeBron and Kawhi, what are you waiting for?
Well, we don't know if Kawhi's healthy. We don't know what a state of mind
is. Well, I want a team that I can... The health was a caveat.
I don't... If I can get a third star, and I'm confident of that, that's different, but... here's free agency. This is what I'm talking about by playing the odds. I don't sit out Kawhi, but I'll give you, look, it's not nothing. I'll give you Lonzo, Kuzma, Hart, two unprotected first round picks, and maybe an asset I get from something else. Now, that mathematically, that doesn't even work right now because you have to add salary that it doesn't exist or is Lou Alding, who they're not taking, or is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on December 15th or something like that. I'm giving you everything. Everything but Ingram. Anyone beaten that?
The package you just described.
Now they may not want
Boston Lonzo. Could beat, but won't because
Boston
they're
won't.
Not going to give up.
Know,
on
anyone beating it?
And Philly probably can't. Like the Covington.
I don't think they want Fultz.
You know, whatever.
I don't think the Spurs want Fultz.
And even if they did, the Covington Fultz and a pick or whatever, like that's not coming close to what you just put up there. I think it made me wonder the entire time when everybody was understandably kind of chortling over the Rondo Stevenson whatever stuff. All I could think was, Rondo and Ball doesn't make sense. Is this the precursor? Is Rondo there because eventually Ball is in a trade for Kawhi or somebody else? Maybe something unforeseen. Like, they don't really think that Lonzo and Rondo make sense together, do they? That this is tenable? Like, I don't know what... We're trying to figure out make too much sense of something that will probably never make sense. But maybe it's because they needed to get some guys in the event that a bunch of these other guys are going out the door.
It's possible. We'll have to leave it there because a lot of us have dinner plans and such things. I would like to thank both of you, not only for this podcast, but for sharing so much of your time with me over the NBA season. It's one of the joys of my season.
Aww.
That the two of you spend time on my stupid podcast when you have many better things to do. And
it's the alcohol talking, but
one beer doesn't get me that happy. It's a rat race, stressful job. It's a fun job, but these kind of conversations are the ones that make it nice. And you have a television show and a family. You have a family and a job and a podcast and a radio show.
And not a television show.
But it's really touching that you guys do this. So I'm glad we got to do it in Vegas. And
so nice.
Finish your wine.
I'm almost done. You two both finished. I would like to say that was so sweet. I'm almost going to stop making fun of you, but not yet.
I don't think that's
going to
happen.
The fans demand that you continue to mock Zach.
All right, we're going to go have fun in Las Vegas. Thank you guys, and we will all cross paths one way or another soon.
Aw, so nice.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.